Hear the word of the Lord from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. The king, that's Solomon, went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. We've talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. The backstory for Solomon. Solomon was King David's son, the son of Bathsheba, and he'd been promised the throne by David, and David, before he died, gave the throne over to Solomon. Solomon was out to where the various altars of God were placed, in around the countryside, in what's referred to as the high places. These altars at that point were to Yahweh, to God. And Solomon had been offering sacrifices, and he came to one particular one where he had offered a lot of sacrifices. It was an important one. And in Gibeon. And Solomon had offered many sacrifices there to God. Solomon's heart was to please God. He wanted to seek God and worship and praise God. And so, after he had offered some of these sacrifices, God came to Solomon in a dream. And God said to Solomon, "Ask for whatever you would like. Ask me for your heart's desire, and it will be yours." Wow. What do you think? Imagine if God would ask you such a thing. Well, he could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for power. Could have asked for might. He could have asked to be feared by all of his enemies. But instead, what we see is Solomon asked for wisdom and discernment to lead the people of Israel. For wisdom and discernment in leading God's people. God's answer to Solomon was, "Good answer." "That's a good answer, Solomon," he said. "Yes." He said, "Because of that, because you've asked or answered well, I will give you what you've asked for. And not only that," God says, "but I'll go ahead and give you the power and the wealth that you didn't ask for, to be honored and respected by all people." God even went on to say, "I will even give you long life if you continue to obey my commands." And if you read the whole story, you find that Solomon did that pretty well until he got towards the end of his life. What I'd like us to consider this morning is, first of all, why did Solomon ask for what he did? Why did Solomon ask for a discerning heart as opposed to power and success, fame, fortune? It's found in our text. We see, first of all, Solomon saying to God, "You have blessed my father. You've blessed David. You have done some amazing things for my family already." And so, because of this, we see that Solomon was grateful to God for what God had already done. God is offering him whatever his heart desires. And Solomon says, "Wow, you've already blessed us so much. You've blessed my father. You've guided David and you've given him success as a king. You've brought a lot of wealth into this kingdom. You've blessed Israel as a whole. You've given them victory over their enemies and wealth. You've made them so that they can hardly even be counted." Solomon, first of all, points out the things that God had already done, and with a grateful heart is expressing this. I want you to notice that Solomon didn't look just to what God had done for him, but Solomon looked for what God had done for those outside of himself. There's already something of an unselfish spirit here. Now, later on, we see something a little different with Solomon. But at this point, he's saying, "All I want to do is be able to lead your people well, God." You see, it wasn't about Solomon. It was about the nation. It was about his family. The other thing that we see, and the clue as to why Solomon asked for what he did, is that Solomon realized that he needed God's help. There are a lot of times when we don't confess that we need help. Right? We're Mainers, right? We don't really need other people's help. We can take care of it ourselves. I know I'm not a Mainer until the fourth generation down, but I'm just kind of joining in on it. Solomon realized, though, that he needed God's help. He recognized, first of all, his own weaknesses. Do you see what he says about that? He says, "I'm just young. I'm just a kid. I don't understand these things. I don't know how to lead them." He recognized his own weaknesses. That's something that we sometimes have trouble doing. You know, our pride kind of gets in the way, and we have a hard time saying, "You know, I really don't know about this. I really don't understand this. Or I'm stuck. I need help." So he recognized his own weaknesses. He also recognized the size and the importance of the task that was given to him. He said, "Look at all these people, God. There are so many people. What am I supposed to do? How am I going to do this?" He recognized the importance of the task and the size of the task that he'd been placed into. And sometimes, folks, we find ourselves in a place where we go, "Wow, I'm in over my head here," right? And when we are, we can try to act like we know what we're doing, or we can turn for help. And I think we have a beautiful picture here of Solomon turning for help and saying, I need your help, God. Here's my weaknesses. Here's the task. I'm not up for it. I am definitely in over my head here." And God respected Solomon for that. It was Solomon's gratitude, it was his reliance on the Lord that created in Solomon a desire to follow the Lord and to lead Israel in the ways of the Lord, to show God's glory ultimately is what he did. And so, as we think about our own heart's desire, as we think about how would we answer that if God said, "Ask for whatever you want." I want you to think for a moment about your own deepest desires, your own heart's desire. There are, in watching TV and media and things like that, you would think that everyone's deepest desire is for inappropriate relationships or for money or for fame or power. We would think that that is what everyone's heart is set upon, right? I was looking around for how people would respond to the question, if you could have whatever you wanted, what would it be, right? And it went from one extreme to the other. One of the people said, if I could have anything I wanted, I would want the world and everything in it. Someone else said something along those lines. I'd like to own the stars. Because they want to be God. Right? Then it went to the other extreme. Someone else said, I'd like to have one more cup of coffee, please. If I could have anything. Some people responded by saying things like everlasting peace and harmony and love. I think maybe they were on the pageant stage when they said that. There's a prison inmate that said, if I could have one thing, it would be freedom. Come to recognize the things that we really desire when we don't have them, right? Someone else responded, if only I could have inner peace. You may be able to relate to something like that. Or someone to love and love me back. A surviving daughter said, one more chance to tell my mom I love her. What is it that you, if you could have one thing, what is your deepest heart's desire? Is it for acceptance or love? Is it for recognition or some sort of success? Is it for companionship? I'd like you to think about the possibility of a closer walk with the Lord. Solomon, as he got older, had a lot of things that distracted him. He had a lot of wives. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of things to take care of. These were all things that we look at and say, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to have these things? Maybe not a lot of wives, but these things distracted Solomon from what his original heart's desire was. And so as we think about these things for ourselves, I'd like you to think about the possibility of a closer walk with the Lord. Closer than you are even now. An intimacy, a personal walk with God. Not that where there's just a knowledge of God or an obedience, but it's something where there's a relationship there, where the heart of God and your heart are melded together, where the mind of Christ, your mind becomes infused with the mind of Christ. I want you to think about, in order to get there, I want you to think about, first of all, what God has already done for you. Patty shared what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Think about what God has done specifically in your life. The help, the strength, the peace. Maybe it's the healing, the guidance, the salvation that you have received, the forgiveness of sins, the hope that you have for eternity, the fellowship of the body. I want you to think about those things, and when you do, give thanks to God with a grateful heart for what God has done. To continually give blessing and praise to God. You see, as we do that, something else happens in our hearts. Our hearts are turned toward God, and the other things of this world become less and less in focus. That beautiful hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Right? Think about what God has done and his love for you. Are you grateful for those things? And now I also want you to consider, as Solomon did, what kind of help you need from above. God offers to us help and strength and guidance and peace and hope, forgiveness, grace, mercy, compassion. What kind of help do you need from God? Maybe you're finding yourself in a situation right now that just seems overwhelming or too difficult to handle. Maybe it's a relationship, and maybe it's something about the future. Maybe it has something to do with something that you've done, and you just don't know how you're going to get beyond it. Maybe it's something that's just looming in front of you. Will you call upon the Lord for help? Or are you simply going to say, well, I'm going to make it through the best I can? You see, as we turn to God, as we ask God for help, then once again, we have one more thing to give thanks and praise to God for, as God helps us. Think about God's love. Think about what you need from God and how God can help you. This is what Solomon did. And what will grow in your heart is a heart of gratitude and one that is turned toward wanting to serve and wanting to bless and wanting to live your life for God. To put God first. There's a proverb. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. That remind us to put God first, and the other things will follow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and God will make your path straight. You see that? God will lead you. God will fill in those blanks that are in front of you. If you will, first of all, trust God with all your heart. We're reminded in the New Testament, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you, right? I want to share a couple other quotes from Proverbs on the screen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You have questions in life? You wonder about things and what's going to happen and what you should do? You can search Wikipedia for some answers if you want. You can search the internet for some answers. They used to have these things called encyclopedias, right? You could search those for some answers. But if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of your wisdom, knowledge of God is where understanding comes from, see. Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 8, the Lord gives wisdom. And from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. See, as we seek to follow the Lord and walk in God's ways, what we find is wisdom and understanding for life. The answers that we are seeking are found there. And finally, Proverbs 3, verses 13 and 14, blessed is the man or the person who finds wisdom, one who gains understanding, for she is understanding and wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. What are you looking for in your life? What is your heart's desire? There's nothing that's more valuable in this world than that knowledge and understanding of God that comes through a relationship with God. That's where we find meaning for life. That's where we find hope. That's where we find guidance. That's where we find a fullness of life. So, May walking with the Lord be your heart's desire, particularly in this new year. And if there are other things that are taking precedence over seeking God this morning, my prayer is that you will let go of those things. You'll place them before the Lord and say, Lord, these things right now are more important than my seeking after you. They are coming between me and you. And so I need to let go of them. I need to give them up so that I can follow you more closely and more nearly. May your prayer be, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Have your way in me. For this is my desire, and above everything else, to know you, to walk with you, to obey you, and to honor you with my life. May this be our prayer.